This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Impeachment articles headed to the United States Senate, but will the Senate candidates running for president, will they actually want to be part of a trial? That is our big story of the day today, brought to you by Valley Forge Casino. And Valley Forge Casino, you can sign up for a Valley Club card, and you can instantly win up to $100,000, a trip to Hawaii, or other major prizes. And if that's not a win, I don't know what is. Find out more at vfcasino.com. Only at Valley Forge Casino Resort, where the house is yours. Welcome back to the show. The Cioli Show on Twitter, at Rich Cioli, and Facebook.com/Cioli Show. 855-839-1210 is our number. You know, it's amazing to me, as I was watching the, I mean, I'm not really trying to watch Sunday shows. I'm trying to be with my family and just enjoy my life. But listening to Pelosi on with George Stephanopoulos this weekend was very eye-opening, in the sense that I think she politically knows she lost by holding on to these articles of impeachment. If you remember the urgency, we played this clip on Friday, the urgency of them having to, they got to impeach, it's urgent, nothing could be more urgent, they have to impeach the president now, they got to do it right now, it's so urgent, 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 and then nothing happened, and then Christmas and New Year's, and nothing happened, and Nancy Pelosi said she'll send him over when she's good and ready. And then Democrats started turning around going, wait a second, if these articles of impeachment against President Trump, if it was so urgent, why aren't you sending them over? It's either urgent or it's not. And so you look at that, and then you think about where we are right now. And suddenly now, as she's thinking about having her caucus vote to send these articles over, it seems to me like she knows she lost. She took a gamble being, I'll hold on to the articles of impeachment. For what purpose? I have no idea. I still can't figure it out. But it hasn't served her. Nothing new has come out. What the hell was the point of this? What was the point of this the entire time? This is Pelosi on with George Stephanopoulos. First of all, she went after Senate McConnell, Mitch McConnell, and she's now accusing McConnell of being part of I guess being under Russia and Putin's thumb.
There's an investigation now on whether or not the Russians are trying to help President Trump and hurt Joe Biden. Again, we see that right there. U.S. poses Russia's targeting Biden in 2020 election meddling. The probe comes as senior U.S. officials are warning that Russia's election interference in 2020 could be more brazen than in 2016 or the 2018 midterm elections. How worried are you about Russian interference in 2020? Are we doing all we can to prevent it?
No, and the President of the United States is in complete denial about Russia's role. As I have said, in terms of this president, all roads lead to Putin. He said he's not going to accept the assessment of our own intelligence agent that they were very much involved in 2016 election, that 24/7 now they are still engaged. He's trying to blame it on Ukraine and this silliness that has been debunked again and again, but he and his folks still keep advancing it. Everything that he has done, whether it's in Syria vis-a-vis the Turks, whether it's been in Ukraine in terms of withholding assistance as they try to fight the Russians, his denial about their role in our election then and now, all roads lead to Putin. And sometimes I wonder about Mitch McConnell, too. Why is he an accomplice to all of that? He has resisted resources going in a manner commensurate with the threat for state agencies, whichever they are in a state, could be the Secretary of State or whatever, to protect our infrastructure, our critical infrastructure of elections. He says you shouldn't even call that critical infrastructure. So it's all of a piece with them. And that's why it's really important for the facts to come forward, the witnesses to be heard.
She is batty, man. I mean, batty, accusing McConnell. And of course, Stephanopoulos just sits there and lets her ramble on. Doesn't even interject, doesn't ask her a question, just lets her just ramble and ramble, and election and roads and infrastructure and blah, blah, blah. And it just keeps going. And the unbiased journalist, he doesn't have anything to say. He doesn't have anything to offer. Pelosi just sits there rambling. Now Mitch McConnell's a Russian agent, too. Everybody's a Russian agent that this woman doesn't like. Everything, Putin's controlling everything. It's amazing. Now, if they don't have a trial and they don't, or they don't bring witnesses in, they don't have John Bolton, she's not giving up. I mean, maybe she'll bring in John Bolton. She hasn't decided yet. This could go on forever. Cut 11.
So if the Senate does not subpoena John Bolton and other witnesses, will the House move to subpoena?
Well, it's not excluded. It's not excluded, but we'll see what they do. But we do think that there's enough evidence to remove the president from office. But we've done our job. We have defended the Constitution of the United States. We would hope that the Senate would do that as well. This is about, in your introduction, you talked about, well, the War Powers Act and this. It's a constitutional challenge, and we feel very proud of the courage of our members to vote to impeach the president. There's nothing the Senate can do that can ever erase that.
Any second thoughts about holding on for 3 weeks?
No, no, no. We feel that it was a very has produced a very positive result in terms of additional emails and unredacted information that has come forward that Bolton
has said.
Why is
she so breathy? You notice how breathy she is? Like she's really out of breath. Did you catch that in the audio? She sounds very hurried and harried.
Yeah, she does. It's like there's no reason why she needs to be. I mean, Stephanopoulos is going to give her all the time in the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, she doesn't need to rush things out, right?
No, and then oh god, she's like a puppy.
Yeah,
what she sounds like, there's a little rabid puppy. I mean, she's just and we got to just calm the hell down. He's not going to cut you off. He literally is letting you go on and on and on, and he's asking you softball questions. And he regrets not holding back the articles for 3 weeks. No, because he's not going, all right, that's enough. Let me jump in here and play the contrarian.
You want an example of that? Go to cut 7.
Let's do it.
I'll say, forget Donald Trump. This is about all presidents and all Congresses as to the
and it's about having the support of the American people as the United States takes military action. So that's what I'm asking.
That's the most important thing, and there's no appetite in the public for
what
is what the
that,
public's being told.
Thank you for giving her that very critical talking point, George Stephanopoulos. You need, that very essential talking point that she's missing. Give it to her.
And it's about having the support of the American people as the United States takes military action. So that's why I'm asking.
That's the most important thing, and there's no appetite
that's right.
in the public.
Yes, yeah, thank you, George. That slipped my mind. Thank you. I forgot about that. Thank you. It's so good to have you here to help me on your show. Get like, out the main points.
He's like her hype man.
Yeah, he's acting like a staff member going, yeah. And also the thing we talked about with the support of the American people, right? 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 Right, right. Yes, yes, yes. That's the most
public
important.
For
what? But is what the public's being told consistent with what you're being told privately?
Well, I'm not absolutely sure what the public is being told because it changes every time you see something. But this is nothing. Let me just say, I want to say this because it's Sunday morning. I just took a group. Bipartisan group in December to the 75th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge, a very bloody battle, thousands and thousands of Americans killed in that war battle, and it was a decisive war in World War II, decisive battle in World War II, and it was remarkable, an Allied effort to defeat the Germans there, and this glorious ceremony of a couple of few days, but also the closing ceremony. The King of Belgium, the Grand Duke of Luxembourg, the President of Germany, saying when you freed Belgium and Luxembourg, you freed Germans.
What the hell
too.
Is she talking about? Does anyone have any clue what she's talking about? Let me just say this, as it's Sunday. I like to talk about bloody military battles on my Sunday morning. Because it's Sunday, I like to talk about bloody, bloody, bloody battles. As you're enjoying brunch and a Bloody Mary, let me tell you about a bloody battle, one of the bloodiest. It's Sunday. I got to remember to talk about bloody battles because it's Sunday.
Just lets her go on.
Yeah, the Grand Duke of Luxembourg was there, the Archduke Ferdinand, the ghosts of the King of Luxembourg and the second, seventh knight of the cat. And then they're standing there on the sidelines and beautiful and the blood is everywhere and the bodies and they're screaming and the, what?
Could she have forgotten what year she's in? Maybe, you know, like that happens sometimes, right?
In other words, as you get older and you forget what year it is, in her case, she could be going back to like the year 1411.
It happens sometimes.
Right? It happens.
Yes.
Like that Luxembourg in that battle, and then there's the count, and then Van Helsing shows up, and then all the town people, and they have their torches, and their lighted torches, George. And let me just say this because it's Sunday morning, and then the moon, the moon is disappearing into the. What the hell are you saying? What is the point of it? She's discussing impeachment, and she's rambling about the Battle of the Bulge and the Grand Duke of Luxembourg.
I wonder what Stephanopoulos, I'd love to see a little thought bubble, what he's, you know.
I wish
saying.
I could see his eyes during that. And the king of Belgium. I didn't even know Belgium had a king. The low energy king of Belgium. And all I'm thinking of is those great cookies he has, the buttery, the Belgian, the delicious. Is that Danish? Dutch?
Waffles.
Yeah, I love their waffles this time of year. It's George, let me say it's Sunday. We all need a nice visual of bloody, wounded people on a bloody battlefield. Let me start your day with that on a Sunday. As the kids are watching. Kids, close your eyes and picture this. Look at your cereal bowl. All those red. Imagine that's blood on a battlefield. As your corn pops, as strawberry makes it all blood. Imagine that, kids. What's wrong with her?
I just took a group. Bipartisan group in December.
Back it up to what she says, because it's Sunday.
I'm not absolutely sure what the public is being told, because it changes every time you see something. But this is nothing. Let me just say, I want to say this because it's Sunday morning. I just took a group, bipartisan group, in December to the 75th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge. A very bloody battle, thousands and thousands of Americans killed.
Thousands and thousands of bloody body parts, right?
Killed in that war.
I call that a buffet.
Battle, and it was a decisive war in World War II, decisive battle in World War II. And it was remarkable, an allied
effort.
Kids
are running out of the room screaming like, Mommy! The crazy lady on TV is talking about bloody battles again. It's 9:30 in the morning.
To defeat the Germans there. And this glorious ceremony of a couple of few days, but also the closing ceremony, the King of Belgium, the Grand Duke of Luxembourg, the President of Germany, saying when you freed Belgium and Luxembourg, you freed Germans too in winning this war. It was beautiful. But why I bring it up now in relationship to this
is, are you bringing it up?
At the end, one of our veterans, and we were there really to see our veterans, thank our veterans, praise our veterans, embrace our veterans, as we have done at other anniversaries. One of the veterans spoke for the group, 90-some years old, beautiful, lovely, spoke beautifully about the sacrifice, the struggle, spoke about the band of brothers, the allies, the effort, the challenges. And at the end, he said, I don't know if this is appropriate to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I urge all of you to pray for peace, for our veterans, for our men and women in uniform, for our children, for our future, for the world.
The question
is, have to move toward peace, not escalation of war.
That's a long way.
That was a long way to get to. I talked to a veteran who wants less war.
The end.
That's a long minute 50 to get there. To get to that. That's the big payoff right there. A veteran doesn't. I had to go all the way to Germany to find somebody who doesn't want war. You should talk to veterans in America. You find them. I mean, you could just say a veteran called my office the other day. Doesn't want any more war. 90 years old, served in World War II. That's all you had to say. The King of Germany there. The Archduke Ferdinand's there. No, he was killed. I forget. My memory, you listen to that and then you go, I don't understand what the goal of all this is here, other than clearly it is just to get the president no matter what.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
As all of this nonsense unfolds, you know, remember that there's still an election going on, and there's still in the midst of all this now. A lot of people who are running for president who would have to be affected by this trial, and they'd have to be on the campaign trail. As Nancy Pelosi's babbling on TV with Stephanopoulos, one of the issues here is the trial itself. Now, Stephanopoulos says, the unbiased journalist says, McConnell is just following the the Clinton model here. The idea that, you know, if we got to wait for the articles to come to the Senate before we can even act, and then we go from there. Cut 12.
But as you know, Leader McConnell didn't budge on witnesses at all. He's not promising.
Well, I think that he will be accountable to the American people for that. Over 70% of the American people think that the president should have those witnesses testify. So, again, it is... it's about a fair trial. They take an oath to have a fair trial, and we think that would be with witnesses and documentation. So that dynamic has now the ball is in their court to either do that or pay a price for not doing it.
Well, one of the points Senator McConnell has made is that they're just following, that he's going to follow the Clinton model, that you have a couple of weeks of presentations by each side, and then you have a vote on witnesses. It was 100-0 vote for that procedure back in 1998, 1999. So why isn't it fair now?
It isn't the same thing. There are at least six reasons, and I could take the whole program going on how it is different.
What's the biggest
one? The biggest one is that the witnesses were all deposed. You know, those witnesses that eventually came were all deposed. The president has not allowed the witnesses to be deposed for the House or for the Senate yet. So the evidence was there. It was just a question of bringing it more to the forefront. So that's a very major difference. You can depose the witnesses or you can't.
Why didn't they depose the witnesses? I mean, that's really the question, right? Why didn't the House depose the witnesses? They gave up. They didn't want to. They could have. They could have kept going and fighting. They could have went all the way to the courts, right? And Stephanopoulos, to his credit, asked her earlier, why didn't you wait till the courts rule? We didn't have time. It was urgent. She had time. Think about this now. She had time to sit on the articles of impeachment, but did not have time to wait for the courts to rule whether or not John Bolton could testify. Now, you know as well as I do, the courts would have ruled very quickly on that. They would have taken it up quickly in that matter. Besides, I mean, if it was urgent, they would have sent the articles to the Senate by now. So we know it wasn't really an urgent impeachment. We know that that's a bunch of BS. So what was the rush, right? Why not go to the courts, ask the Supreme Court, can John Bolton testify? These are the people we want to testify. We want to hear from all these people and just wait. In the meantime, you have your hearings. You don't vote for the articles of impeachment. You just wait to hear what the courts have to say. Why not do that, right? She goes, well, these witnesses haven't been deposed by the House, but she's the one who made the decision to vote on the articles of impeachment before getting a ruling on whether or not those witnesses could talk. It's the biggest exercise in political stupidity I've ever seen in my life. Meanwhile, the president's not being hurt by this at all. I told you he wouldn't be. I think all this is backfiring on Democrats. I think the fact that Democrats are talking about now another round of impeachment. Brad Parscale, the campaign manager for the president, is a big data guy. He put out the statistics from the Toledo, Ohio rally. Toledo is a must-win state. I mean, Ohio is a must-win state, much like Pennsylvania. Got to win these states to become president. This is data from the Ohio rally. There were 23,000 voters identified. 18,000 of them from Ohio. 5,200 did not vote in 2016. 22% of them Democrats. 21% independents. Donald Trump is not only has he held on to his base, he has expanded his base, and he's picking up Democrats and independent voters in the Rust Belt. You know why? Because the alternative is people that would shut down manufacturing jobs, make cars too expensive, get rid of private property rights with housing, all those crazy things. And so for these Democrats in the Rust Belt, people that were Democrat, people all the time come up to me and go, you know what, Rich, I got to tell you, I voted Republican my entire life. First time I ever voted for a Republican, Donald Trump. I voted Democrat in me my entire life. First time I ever voted Republican was for Trump. My whole life I voted Democrat till he came around. And that's, I hear that a lot, actually, especially from union guys, especially ones that were not able to vote for Reagan or back then just weren't politically active or that sort of thing. A big part of the reason is because if you look at what the candidates are saying, and then you think about the Rust Belt, you think about people that work in coal, fossil fuels, fracking, manufacturing, the automotive industry, all the industries that are targeted by the extreme climate change crowd. You know, call me a denier. I'm not a denier, but I think that these Democrat candidates are deniers if they think they can pick up union voters in Rust Belt states with the kind of rhetoric that they are throwing out there about the environment. For example, Elizabeth Warren, America's mother-in-law. My Lotus, mother-in-law of the United States of America. Cut one.
So I want to thank thank you all for being here.
It's rough.
You know, I think we all know that 2020 election is not just about the next 4 years, not just about the next 8 years. The 2020 election may well be about the survival of our planet. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of this fight.
I don't know about you, but I Wow. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says climate crisis causes her anxiety. She may not, and this is going to make someone going to make Bernie Sanders sad, or maybe happy, depending on how things work out on the old campaign bus. Cut two.
You and, you know, Greta Thunberg, two, you know, really generally young people taking a lead. What do you guys get about it being young as the old people aren't getting right now?
I mean, this is our future, because I think for us, the stakes are so high. I'm going to live in a world that is fundamentally altered by climate change. So is Greta. So is every young person. You know, if you are pretty much under the... First of all, we're seeing it now. Like, we're living through this right now. We're experiencing it right now. But especially if you are under 50 years old, if you're under 40, 30, you know, 20, the younger you are, the more of our lives and our futures are going to be impacted by this. And, you know, even people my age are stressed and have anxiety about having kids. Just because we want to make sure that we're bringing our kids into a healthy world, into a stable future. And we shouldn't ever have to be anxious about that. We need to be advocating for a safe future for all of us.
Well, good news is she may not reproduce. That's the good news. That's the upside. If the world ends in 12 years, why does it matter what age you are?
It's true.
If the world's going to end in 20 years or 12 years.
Yeah, that's true. I mean...
She's going through all those ages, right? She's like, well, if you're this age, this age is going to impact you more. Yeah. But I think if what she says is true, regardless of your age, 12 years and it's over, whether you're 30, whether you're 12, or whether you're 24.
It's going to affect us all, right?
In 12 years, it's out.
Yeah.
Unless we change our diet. Joaquin Phoenix, after his nutty acceptance speech at the Golden Globes last week, he also announced he's going to be wearing the same tuxedo. He's going to be wearing the same tuxedo so as to have unnecessary tuxedos for he wants to eliminate the waste of, I guess, excess tuxedos. I mean, when you're so 1%, you go, I'm only going to wear the same tuxedo at all the awards ceremonies. Right. Most of us don't even have a tuxedo. And when we do, we rent it. The other ones that we do have it, we can't fit into it from our wedding day. So you know what I mean? But his big thing is from now on, I'm only wearing one tuxedo.
Wow.
For climate change.
Struggle.
The struggle is real. He was on the plane. He took a plane to the climate change protest with Jane Fonda. Yes, he flew on a plane which runs on wind power.
No, it doesn't.
Does not?
No, it does not.
It was not a glider?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Wasn't it, he and Jane Fonda didn't take a glider plane?
This isn't the Wright brothers.
Well, that's a damn shame. How about a solar plane? Did it run on solar power?
Nope,
did not, huh? So it ran on jet fuel?
Yep.
All right.
Thank you, Jane, for organizing this and inviting me, and thank you all for being here. I don't have anything prepared. People have spoken so intelligently and eloquently. But something I think isn't oftentimes talked about in the environmental movement or in the conversation about climate change is... that the meat and dairy industry is the third leading cause of climate change. And I think sometimes we wonder what can we do in this fight against climate change. And there's something that you can do today, right now, and tomorrow by making a choice about what you consume. And I think that it's something that is doable. I struggle so much with what I can do at times. There are things that I can't avoid. I flew a plane out here today, or last night rather. But one thing that I can do is change my eating habits. And so I just want to urge all of you to join me in that, and you as well, Jane. And thank you so much for this opportunity.
When I'm in first class or on my private jet, I always order the vegan entree. So next time you're on your private jet, like when I took the private jet here, Jane, just, you know, I made sure my chef prepared a vegan entree for me. So there's things we could all do.
Did he have to go out there? Wouldn't it have been more woke to just send in like a video?
Right.
You know, like a.
He didn't prepare anything anyway.
No, it's true.
He spoke for 8 seconds. And what was the point of that? Yeah, I flew out here with thousands and thousands of gallons of jet fuel.
Yes.
I didn't prepare anything. I've got nothing to offer.
But
I did eat vegan on the flight. Thank you. Thank you. Go see Joker. Thank you. Vote Joker in the Academy Awards poll. My agent said I had to get out on the road. Vote Joker. You remember the Academy. Remember.
By the
no
way,
animals were harmed in the making of Joker. Yes.
That was a Jane Fonda climate rally. So, I mean, I don't know if he really needed to be there for that.
It's a great point you make, Greg, because he didn't have to necessarily ever go. Like, he could have said, and now on screen, Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes.
Hey, everybody, to save thousands and thousands of jet fuel, I'm going to just phone this one in because I didn't prepare anything anyway. So, don't eat meat. And, wear the same tuxedo again. All right. Thank you all.
Good night.
Good night. I love you.
What's it say?
How do I turn this feed off now? I got this damn, what do I hit? Wait. What button? What button do I hit? They're bringing in my vegan entree right now. I got to go. But instead, he gets on a plane and he flies. Yeah. The thousands and thousands of jet fuel. Now he's like, it's at the end of the rally. He goes, all right, so I didn't prepare anything. I don't really have anything to offer, but, and now it's over. My plane's waiting. I've been having it run. It's hot. So I'd like to be cool. So the plane's been running for quite some time. And
yeah,
I believe, I just got a notice on my Apple Watch made in a Chinese sweatshop. Plane's nice and cool for me. Yeah, it's optimal, 68 degrees.
You don't want to get on right away because it is stuffy in there.
Yeah, it's stuffy.
Yeah,
you're on the private jet. It's stuffy, so. I did my pilot and personal chef, Eduardo, has my vegan manicotti.
Oh, it's very.
I'm gonna run.
Sounds tasty.
The hell was the point of that?
You know, he's a great actor. He should just stick to acting.
Oh.
There's things we can all do. I had to take a plane here to talk for 37 seconds and say nothing of consequence. I didn't really prepare anything. On the plane. What were you doing the whole time on the plane is what I want to know.
It's true.
Right? You're not flying it, I don't think. Are you making your own vegan meal? I think you got a chef. So what are you doing? You couldn't scribble down a couple of notes.
He was watching some movies.
Yeah. I was watching myself in Joker again. I just want to say great performance. If you're a member of the Academy, I'd really appreciate your vote. And I watched Jane Fonda in Barbarello again. She was great in that. She nailed it in that.
It was a long time ago, sir.
Long time ago. I was watching that on the plane. I'm glad I was alone, if you know what I mean. It's a different Jane Fonda. But I want you to all know that my whole meal on that flight and gluten, too.
It's so
not scotch-free. I want to make that point very clear. If you couldn't tell, I won't drink milk, but I'll have a white Russian, if you know what I mean. I just use non-dairy half and half. Almond milk in my woke Russian. So instead of a white Russian, it's a woke Russian. It's got, right? Almond milk instead of half and half. Yes.
So the protest or the climate protest was in D.C., Washington, D.C. I'm assuming Joaquin Phoenix lives in L.A., right?
Right.
I'm just thinking of what the carbon footprint to fly from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C. is across the country.
To speak for a minute and 10 seconds. To speak for a minute
yes,
10.
Yes.
And then leave.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night. I've got a delicious spaghetti and vegan balls dish on my private jet waiting for me. I'm going to watch Johnny Cash movie that I was in.
Oh, yeah.
I was good in that.
I forgot he was good. Yeah, he was good in that.
I like that movie. I'm going to take some painkillers and try to channel Johnny.
He was in Parenthood, too, with Steve Martin when he was a little kid.
Oh, was he?
Yes, he was the little kid in that.
There you go. That's where it all started, right then and there on the set. 855-839-1210. I guess I could have phoned this one in, huh? Like FaceTimed?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Right? And somebody could have held the phone up. I could have just said all this. But anyway, thank you. Good night. What a nut. I mean, honestly, this is a crazy person. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Impeachment articles are headed to the Senate, we think. That means then that some of these Senate candidates are not going to be on the campaign trail. You know, the president was tweeting over the weekend in Farsi, which is the language of the Iranian people. And he was tweeting in their language and telling them he supports them. He stands by them. He also warned Iran in all caps, do not kill your protesters. Thousands have already been killed or imprisoned by you, and the world is watching. More importantly, the USA is watching. Turn your internet back on and let reporters roam free. Stop the killing of your great Iranian people. What a monster. What a Hitlerian monster to tweet something like that, right? Am I right? Unbelievable. What an anti-First Amendment, anti-freedom of the press monster to tell the dictators in Iran, don't kill your people. Turn the internet back on and let the reporters and the press show the world what's happening. Just an absolute monster. 855-839-1210. Now, this, of course, the president over the weekend was suggesting that there might have been four embassies targeted in the strike that took out the general, that if the general had not been taken out, there might have been four embassies. He was on with Laura Ingraham Friday night on Fox News 6A.
Don't the American people have a right to know what specifically was targeted without revealing methods and sources?
Well, I don't think so, but we will tell you that probably it was going to be the embassy in Baghdad.
Did they have large-scale attacks planned for other embassies? And if those were planned, why can't we reveal that to the American people? Wouldn't that help your case?
I can reveal that I believe it would have been four embassies. And I think that probably Baghdad already started.
Now, this, of course, is coming under a lot of scrutiny by the media, what the president said about the four embassies. The defense secretary, Mark Esper, was asked the question over the weekend on Face the Nation. Were there four embassies that were going to be attacked? Cut six.
The president said last week that there was an attempt to blow up the U.S. embassy in Baghdad. Here's specifically what he said on Fox News.
I can reveal that I believe it would have been four embassies, but Baghdad certainly would have been the lead. But I think it would have been four embassies, could have been military bases, could have been a lot of other things, too. But it was imminent. And then all of a sudden, he was gone.
Why couldn't you share that specific threat with senators in a classified briefing?
Well, that information, there was a reference in this exquisite intelligence to an attack on the United States Embassy in Baghdad. That information was shared with the Gang of Eight. All that exceptional intelligence shared with the Gang of Eight, not the broader membership of the Congress.
A specific threat against the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad to blow it up was shared with the Gang of Eight?
I was not in that meeting with the Gang of Eight, but I will tell you, I spoke to one of the briefers. What the briefer said to me coming out of that meeting was his assessment that most, if not all, the members thought that the intelligence was persuasive and that the Gang of Eight did not think that it should be released to the broader members of Congress.
But broadly, can you clarify, though, was the specific threat that the president shared with Fox News about four U.S. embassies being under threat also shared with Congress? Why was there a difference?
What the president said was he believed that it probably and could have been attacks against additional embassies. I shared that view. I know other members of the national security team shared that view. That's why I deployed thousands of American paratroopers to the Middle East to reinforce our embassy in Baghdad and other sites throughout the region.
Probably and could have been. That sounds more like an assessment than a specific, tangible threat with a decisive piece of intelligence.
Well, the president didn't say it was a tangible, he didn't cite a specific piece of evidence. What he said is he believed.
Are you saying there wasn't one?
I didn't see one with regard to four embassies. What I'm saying is I share the president's view that probably my expectation was they were going to go after our embassies. The embassies are the most prominent display of American presence in a country.
You know what's interesting about that? When that intelligence brief came out in the summer of 2001, Osama bin Laden determined to strike in the United States of America. They didn't have the hard evidence that they were going to necessarily take down the World Trade Center, right? If you had at the time turned around and said, I believe bin Laden's going to try to take down the World Trade Center again because they've struck it once and, you know, we believe that, you would be, I guess, called crazy because there was not hard definitive evidence that on this day at this time he was going to do this and take out this in particular. What they want to do is they want to try to paint the president as a crazy guy who's making this stuff up, that like he's just in his head coming up with this stuff, and that it contrasts with the defense secretary, because there wasn't hard and fast evidence that on this day at this time they were going to do this to this embassy and do that. The president is getting information from a lot of sources, and I'm sure those sources are saying to him, the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad is only the first of what they want. Their ultimate goal is, it's like the ultimate goal to bring down the World Trade Center, the ultimate goal of bringing down the Twin Towers. The ultimate goal is to get these embassies. It doesn't mean that here's the hard evidence that says here, next Tuesday at 4 p.m., there's going to be a coordinated attack on our embassy in this place or embassy in that place. It's that they're trying, they want to make a statement by getting the U.S. out of the Middle East by attacking embassies. That's going to be their goal. And so the president says that to Laura Ingraham, and then the media pushes back and goes, well, yeah, but where's the specific intelligence on the specific embassy by the specific person, the specific time, the specific day, the specific moment it's supposed to happen? And Esper's saying, well, we don't have that necessarily. This is what we believe, that they, the strong evidence to believe that this is what their ultimate goals are, they want to do. And so the president took him out because of the fact that they attacked the embassy in Baghdad. They were behind that. And some of the people advising the president believe, much like I'm sure that in the summer of 2001, a lot of people probably believed the World Trade Center was probably the target. Wasn't the only target, though, right? And so now it's a matter of, well, it's not our only embassy that's a target. They're looking at other embassies, too. But in this day of which, to paint the narrative that Trump's insane and he just makes stuff up and he's crazy and he just throws things up at the sky, they'll push down that. And then they'll go, well, you know, Mark Esper says he doesn't necessarily agree with the president's point that he believes that four embassies could have been under attack. No, that's not what Mark Esper's saying. What Mark Esper's saying is, I didn't have specific evidence of a specific targeted attack on a specific embassy. That's not what the president said either. It's not what the president said either. The president said to Laura Ingraham, I believe that they were going to target four of our embassies. Much like I'm sure in the summer of 2001, there were probably analysts who believed that bin Laden was going to hit the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, probably wanted to take out the White House, Congress, this place and this. They were looking to attack. If you have the ability to know exactly when, exactly where, if the hard evidence says, you know, it's not always a piece of paper that says attack American embassy. You know, I mean, part of intelligence is trying to gather this stuff and to figure out what they're up to, because they don't necessarily write it down and make it easy for you to understand. Hey, on September 11th, get ready, we're going to hijack planes and crash them into buildings. If it was that simple, if it was that easy, we could have stopped 9/11 from happening. Right? I mean, same with Benghazi. I mean, if we had exact information that they were going to attack our embassy in Benghazi at that day and that time, well, you would hope that they would have tried to stop it, right? So that's the point. I mean, unfortunately, we don't have the ability with these bad guys where they take copious notes and make it really simple for us. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. By the way, you see any Nazis on your way to work today? Did you pass any Nazis on the way in?
One.
You passed one Nazi. Greg, how many Nazis did you pass today on your way into work today?
None this morning, but on Friday, there were a bevy of them.
Yeah, bevy of Nazis,
a bevy
right?
Of Nazis, yeah.
They're out on Fridays, yeah. Is that it?
I was trying to buy something in CVS. There were so many Nazis in front of me in line, I gave up. I said, you know what? I'm not going to wait in line anymore. If they're not going to get more people to accommodate this crowd.
Yeah, we really have to do something about this.
Right? And then, Saturdays, the Nazis get to the stores right
early.
When they open.
Yep. Yep.
They're very punctual.
Yep.
MSNBC's Joy Reid, apparently in her world, the host of AM Joy, when she's not bashing gay people, sees Nazis everywhere. She's like that kid in that movie who sees dead people everywhere. She sees Nazis everywhere. Right, the Sixth Sense.
It's
yeah.
The Eighth Sense.
the sequel that's coming out. The Eighth Sense. I see Nazis. I see them everywhere. Only they don't know they're Nazis.
Donald Trump, we were talking about this in the hair and makeup room a little bit as well. He produces a kind of anxiety in people that is so profound. It's part of the reason people are obsessively watching this show and Rachel Maddow. And it's like Rachel Maddow is sort of their psychologist.
Stop
at
it.
This point.
I will give you that people are obsessively watching Rachel Maddow.
Yes,
they're not obsessively watching AM Joy with Joy Reid.
No.
I'll give you Maddow's number two behind Hannity. Sometimes she's number one. He's number two. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
You, the only reason people ever hear you is because we play your idiotic clips on this show.
Just so you guys know, I did a little research, and the AM Joy for the demo, you know, the 2554 demo, for the last week in December, 162,000.
162,000.
2,000. That's nationwide, by the way.
Nationwide.
Nationwide. 162,000. So it's.
That's what we get in a neighborhood during this program.
That's exactly right. No kidding.
162.
Yeah. That's what we get in a little slice of the suburbs when it's a slow day and people are on vacation.
Yeah.
And I'm off. So a Friday. Sorry, keep going.
That is so profound. It's part of the reason people are obsessively watching this show and Rachel Maddow. And it's like Rachel Maddow is sort of their psychologist at this point. Because people are afraid of not just what he can do, but what he's doing to people, what he's bringing out in people, the kind of people he's surfacing in the United States. You have swatting happening and Nazis walking around. It is a scary time.
Nazis
and
walking around.
You look at the swatting happening and Nazis walking around. It is a scary time.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, you bump into a Nazi
on
the street and you ask him for directions. They go, I know nothing.
Yep.
Like Sergeant Schulte. Wow.
Thank you,
nothing.
Dawn. Thank you.
I got it.
I know nothing, they say. I know nothing. Actually, I think what happened is she saw a bunch of people going to rehearse the producers.
Yes.
And she's like, look at all these Nazis walking around.
Yeah.
It's freaking Trump's America.
It's a movie set.
45 years ago was Blazing Saddles, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Let me mention, too, I want to thank Tony Nardi. Tony checked in on Facebook, facebook.com/Zioli Show. He said, why doesn't Stephanopoulos ask if the impeachment goes on forever? Do you think it's fair that you, Nancy, will be the only one still around? That's very good. That check-in is brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter, because relationships do matter, and they know how much your relationship with us matters. So thank you for that. Facebook.com/Zioli Show. 45 years ago was The Producers, the movie by Mel Brooks, who also did, I'm sorry, Blazing Saddles. Mel Brooks, of course, also did The Producers, which is the movie that mocks the Nazis, the springtime for Hitler in Germany and everything like that. They could never, ever, ever make Blazing Saddles ever again, right? There's no chance.
No.
No chance that could ever happen. Or The Producers, I don't think they could make.
No.
And,
I mean, they redid it, but even in 2006, you still can't. Like, even watching stuff from 06 wouldn't be able to be made today.
No, because it'd be transphobic. They made Hitler into a drag queen. Remember that?
Yep.
So that would be.
Yes.
You could never do that. Even though it's Hitler. That's still why they couldn't do it. And that point right there. Good morning, Dawn. How are you today?
Good morning. Doing great this Monday morning. We have 44 degrees.
The Eighth Sense, starring Joy Reid.
The Eighth Sense.
I see Nazis everywhere I go.
You know, I still catch it because one time because I didn't get the eight thing when they said the Hitler was, remember the whole eight thing?
Oh, that, yes.
And remember what I said? I go, it's not eight on my phone. Eight is not,
right,
and
right.
I still get people like, I'll get stopped. Like, really, Dawn?
That was the whole conspiracy theory that the president had the flag in the eighth month of the eighth day.
Yes.
8-8 for Heil Hitler, HH. Right, those are the eighth sense.
I'm
very good.
I'm looking at my phone, and anyway.
See, I just got that, the H. Good job. Good job.
Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney is getting ready for a big news conference this morning. He's going to announce the new information.
His resignation. He's resigning.
Stop.
He's resigning.
Just starting his second term. And we'll wonder if he'll be running for governor someday. But anyway, he's going to hold this news conference this morning, giving new information on these eight brand new speed cameras coming to the Roosevelt Boulevard. So nearly 12-mile stretch. It is considered to be one of the most dangerous roads, they say, in the Commonwealth. So once the cameras are fully operational, and this is important, you get there's a 60-day warning period, and then that will be implemented before the fines of up to $150. $150. So the first one, which is installed, which goes into effect today, that's the Boulevard and Banks Way. Then the next one's F Street, the next one's Devereaux, and so on. But there are eight of them, and he's going to announce all new information about it'll raise a ton of money. As we know, the red light cameras have raised a ton of money for the city as well. So the city, by the way, there's good news about bed bugs. So Philadelphia has fallen in the ranks of the notorious list.
Even they're moving out of the city.
I know. That's a good. I love it.
They're like, screw this. I'm going to North Carolina.
So Philadelphia now number 12 on Orkin's list of the worst cities for bed bugs. And that's down two spots. We were in the top 10. So at least who's number one? D.C. is number one, Baltimore, and then Chicago. New Jersey lawmakers expected to officially ban flavored vaping products today. The law also calls for stricter penalties on shops that sell those e-cigs to minors.
So they're banning flavored vaping products for everybody, not just children? Everybody?
Yeah, they're just banning them.
So if you're an adult and you've been trying to quit smoking, like our buddy Greg Conley, who came on the show and said vaping saved his life, he likes the flavored the flavors. He likes it. It's better. He talks about adults who like it. So adults will not be able to get it in New Jersey, which means then they're going to go out of state and get it.
Right? Go across the bridge.
They're going to go across the bridge.
So the vape shop owners also, and Zioli's talked about this, right? They oppose this because they say a lot of the vaping problems were people, kids, teens, or whatever, buying it on the black market on the internet.
Exactly.
And so that's what vape shops
do. Exactly. And now they're going to be still buying it on the black market because bans don't work and people just buy stuff on the black market.
So
you're going to have more people sick now.
Rich, we don't have any evidence that when things happen, like when people sell Lucy things on the black market, anything bad happens.
Oh, right? Nothing bad happens.
There's no evidence.
There's nothing. Okay. No one's ever had an encounter with the police for, say, selling loose cigarettes because people didn't want to buy packs because they were too expensive. So nobody will ever be selling illegal flavored vapes and will never have to come into contact with law enforcement and it'll be fine. Nothing could possibly go wrong.
In New York?
And 100% of the people abide by prohibition.
Oh,
of
wow.
Anything.
Oh.
Yes.
Wow.
That's right. That's why we haven't had a single person use drugs in this country.
It's amazing.
Ever.
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 So Governor Phil Murphy says he supports this, so he'll sign it. So the U.S.
Suck it, New Jersey!
The U.S. Supreme Court
will... But not if it's flavored.
This U.S. Supreme Court will hear the arguments on Bridgegate this week on whether to throw out the convictions of those two former aides to New Jersey's former Republican Governor Chris Christie. This is Bridget Kelly, Bill Baroni, a big case. A lot of people are watching. Of course, they were involved with Bridgegate, and Baroni and Kelly both have argued their actions may have been a little unethical, but they were not criminal. And by the way, both are free on bail. Kelly was weeks away from beginning her 13-month sentence after being convicted, and then Baroni had already started serving, if you remember, his 18-month sentence. Then he was released from prison, so they're awaiting this important, all-important Supreme Court ruling.
The Supreme Court's going to overturn it. That's my prediction. They'll overturn it. Yeah, because if you look at the court lately, the last several years, I mean, going all the way back to Scalia even, they've been very much trying to rein in prosecutors who take a statute and then interpret it for their liking. And so while the idea of using government resources to make traffic is not a good thing, if there's not a law against doing something like that, they can't just make it. They can't just say, well, we're going to apply this law to that. That's been something Gorsuch has said and something Alito has said. And they have been trying to slap down these prosecutors who just use whatever they can to possibly get somebody. That's my prediction, is they'll say that this was a terrible thing, but it does not rise to the federal bribery offense.
Interesting. And, of course, we've been watching this, but Zioli, you actually personally know Baroni.
I do.
Right?
I do. I've known him since high school.
So maybe he'll do an exclusive interview.
I would love to see it happen. Yeah, let's reach out to him. Why not? Let's do it.
So the latest on what they're calling Megxit, the queen is prepping for a royal summit. It's crisis. This is like Jerry Springer should do a special show, right, with this dysfunctional royal family.
This dysfunctional inbred family, the royals.
So there's a meeting today, a big crisis meeting with Prince Charles and grandson Prince William, the son of Diana. So because of that surprise announcement by Prince Harry and wife Duchess Meghan, who's an African-American actress. So Harry and Meghan reportedly telling friends the royal family is, quote, poisonous and McIlvanian. The interesting thing, Elton John, remember he was friends with Diana. He apparently knew all about this. He's spoken out and says he supports Harry and Meghan, that they're taking control of their
own lives.
I love
that an American, I hate the crown, I hate the Brits, but I love that an American may be the one who brings down that entire empire finally.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
The American woman brings down the entire British, something we have not been able to really do as a country.
It's payback.
It's the ultimate payback.
The ultimate payback.
We just waited. They say revenge is a dish best served cold. There you go. We're going to tear apart that crown.
Lying in the weeds for 100 years.
That's right. Just lying in wait.
So this day in history, January 13th, 1968.
I'm declaring war against Canada.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's right. I forgot to say Megan's in
she's in Canada. She refuses to come to America because she hates Trump, so she won't come to America as long as he's president. So they're in Canada. Canada used to be part of the crown, at least part of it. So the question I had earlier in the show was, can the queen declare war? And yes, apparently she can. So I don't know if the military would actually go and fight it, but she could declare war against Canada. Unless you return, baby Archie, we will be invading Canada.
It's all crazy time.
I know.
January 13th, 1968, on this day, Johnny Cash performs at Folsom Prison, which brings...
I played him in a movie, and let me just tell you, I hope that we can make prison food vegan. Because if the prisoners can eat vegan, I flew here on my private jet to say, I don't have anything prepared, but I hope you are doing time okay and eat vegan. Warden, make sure they eat vegan.
Food justice.
Amazing I didn't wind up in here too, getting to drink all the drugs I did. All right, gotta go.
So that's Zioli's impression of Joaquin Phoenix. He earned Best Actor nominations for portraying musician Johnny Cash back in the Walk the Line 2005. Phoenix also won Best Actor for his performance in Joker last week at the Golden Globes. Now he's up for an Oscar. So today we're going to learn the nominees for the Oscars this morning. And by the way, 1917 won Best Picture in the Drama category, 1917, the World War One drama. So it won a Golden Globe. We'll find out if it gets the nod. And by the way, it actually exceeded, passed Rise of Skywalkers, $15 million this weekend.
George, let me say, because it's Sunday. You know, the bloody battles of World War One, where the blood and the men bleeding all over the field, it really reminds me, George, on a Sunday of 1917, that's when I graduated kindergarten for the 11th time.
And this news brought to you by Exergen. 30 million people come down with the flu every year. They say it's going to be a horrible year, unfortunately, for the flu. So the best way to tell if it's a cold or flu, take your temperature. Nobody does that better than the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Learn more at Exergen.com. Eyewitness Weather brought to you by Mercedes Northeast Region. So today, it's going to be mild, 51 degrees, kind of a nice day. And then tomorrow, we will have a 50% chance of showers, 49 degrees, but really a mild week, about 50 degrees most of the week. So we have Mercedes Northeast Region, three rows, up to seven seats, room for much more. Introducing the first ever Mercedes-Benz GLB. This is a stylish SUV with an MBUX system, an optional third row, and a starting price of $36,000. Go to MBUSA.com. That's MBUSA.com. Or visit your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer to schedule your test drive today. I'm Dawn, Zioli Show News, Radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. Of course, the 2020 election is going to be coming through Pennsylvania in a big, big way, and you are going to get a firsthand seat to all of it.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
You know, one of the amazing things, of course, about 2020 is that if there is a trial in the U.S. Senate, the Democrats who would be potentially now jurors would include Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. These two are battling it out in a big way. America's mother-in-law and megaphone Bernie in a big way, battling out to see who can become the standard bearer for the progressive kook caucus of the Democrat Party. And America's mother-in-law is very upset in Bernie Sanders that he's been going after her a lot. And I'm going to tell you, this is going to remind you of your mother-in-law, so just be prepared for that. Bernie's going after her a lot. He called her an elitist the other day. Called her an elitist. He's trying to remind everybody in the fringe of the party, the kook fringe, that, hey, I'm real, you're not, all right? I'm real, she's not, and she's not having it. Take a listen.
I was disappointed to hear that Bernie is sending his volunteers
out. How many times have you heard your mother-in-law say she's disappointed in you? Or that your daughter, her daughter married you, or her son married you. How many times have you in your life heard that from your mother-in-law? I am disappointed that you couldn't come for Christmas, right? I'm disappointed.
I was disappointed.
That Thanksgiving turned into another fight because of football. And that everybody stayed and watched the game and didn't come to the table.
I was disappointed.
That you showed up at 4 o'clock on Thanksgiving when you know we like to eat at 4 o'clock. And so it threw off my hors d'oeuvres and we ate later. And I think everybody, it showed no respect to my turkey, which I brined for 77 hours.
I was disappointed.
When my daughter called me and said she was marrying you.
Oh, no. No, that's not me.
What? I'm just throwing it out there. That's
not... Ouch.
Terrible thing. My Lotus, America's mother-in-law. Oh, you know what? Let's do our movie thing. Bill, you mentioned Jojo Rabbit. What is Jojo Rabbit?
Oh, it came out last year. It's by Fox. It's a satirical comedy that involves Nazi Germany pertaining to the producers. So it's a similar in that nature. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend it because it came out last year and it still went with the theme of making fun of Nazis.
I think Joy Reid saw that before she fell asleep 100%. And then woke up and said there's Nazis walking around all around us, I guess.
Well, I mean, it is an Oscar movie now, so.
Right, so it's very relevant. And I don't eat rabbit on my private jet. Let's do our movie of the day, shall we?
The Morning Mystery Clip. Yeah! On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Define irony. Bunch of idiots dancing on a plane to a song made famous by a band that died in a plane crash.
Someone alerted the authorities at Carson City. Someone told them about our learner rendezvous. Someone even killed poor Billy Bedlam. Now, could this all be coincidence? Perhaps. Then someone went and tied a rope to our plane. So I ask you, what is going on? And I answer, we have a traitor in our midst.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
It is a five-pack of tickets to the Philly Home Show this coming weekend, January 17th to the 19th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. For tickets and info, visit phillyhomeshow.com. Good luck. Let me quickly go to Henry in Bridgeport. Henry, do you want to make your comment about the vegans?
Yeah, I'm taking you back a ways, but...
been a running theme, don't worry.
These people don't think nothing of going on national TV and sound like total idiots. Do they think that we still plow fields with horse-drawn plows with a man behind it? No, they bring in armies of giant diesel-burning monsters to plow thousands and thousands of acres of field. And then they also picket with those machines.
In other words, there's still a carbon footprint attached to people that just eat vegetables.
Enormous.
Well, don't tell Joaquin Phoenix that on his private jet, Henry, okay?
Well, you know... And on the next matter, real quick, I don't want to keep you, you know, it's actually our president's job is to try and foresee problems. And there's nothing wrong with fortifying other embassies in a region that's volatile.
Well, if
maybe
he hadn't.
If Hillary and Obama tried a little of that, maybe Ambassador Stevens would still walk among us.
It's a good point. Listen, if he hadn't, and then the embassies were attacked, they found out that he believed that they could have been attacked. Think about how they would be crucifying him, right?
Yep.
All right, Henry. Thanks for the call, buddy. Have a great day. 855-839-1210.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.